Mr. Sedasky, Atari 8-Bit Socialization Podcast, Season 6, Episode 641.
Hey, Wade here, and I'm back with a special episode. This time, rather than focus on a single productivity app, I'm going to focus on having a little fun with these amazing 8-bit machines.
Why the deviation?
Simple. I got a FujiNet device. It really is that simple. I had no idea how much enjoyment this single accessory would bring to my 8-bit usage, and so much so, it prompted me to install the Ultimate 1 megabyte and prep the Side 2 that I bought last year. The Ultimate 1 megabyte got installed into my 800XL, which is a fully socketed machine, making the installation much simpler than trying to install it in my 130XE. And so the 130XE and the 320XE expansion are put away, and my 800XL is taking its place. After starting to use FujiNet, it quickly became apparent how much I was using the 800XL, so I swapped it into the prominent desktop position, displacing the 4096ST. So now I get to see and use my favorite Atari 8-bit computer on a daily basis. So what is FujiNet? FujiNet is a small device that plugs into the SIO chain of the Atari 8-bit computer. It provides an SD card slot for mountable disk images to be stored on, and of greatest importance for me, a Wi-Fi modem. Those are just a couple of the features. It actually does a whole lot more than that. With FujiNet, you can load a disk image from anywhere in the world via the internet. How's that for impressive? The Wi-Fi modem is recognized by the Atari 8-bit as the R device and is essentially an emulated 850 interface with a Hayes modem attached. It connects to your Wi-Fi network on the back end and translates dialing commands into internet connections. That's an oversimplification, but that's basically what it does. If you want to discuss in more detail, there is a dedicated Discord channel where you could discuss with the developers and other users. And here's a little known note on the FujiNet that will make life easier should you decide to get one. You can plug an SIO cable into the back of the FujiNet and the other end into the computer, and it works just fine. Why would you want to do this? The FujiNet connections are very, very tight. And this will reduce the stress on the components of both the computer and the FujiNet itself if you plug and unplug it frequently. So I now have these devices all providing disk drives, and the combinations that Ultimate 1 megabyte and Side provide, along with SIO to PC, the real drives and the FujiNet, and all this can lead to some confusion rather quickly and how to set everything up and keep track of who has drive 1. I found it easiest to set up a profile in Ultimate 1 megabyte that I use when I want to boot DOS from Ultimate 1 megabyte, another for when I want to boot DOS and mount disks from Side, another for FujiNet use, and finally one for stock. Thanks to the color coding in the Ultimate 1 megabyte menu, it makes it easy to remember which profile is in use.
I understand blue for stock, but why green for FujiNet?
I don't know, it just felt right. With that, I can leave drive 1 to be pulled from the FujiNet. I have a physical Happy 1050 that is set as drive 2. I set Respect, or SIO to PC, with drives 3 and 4, and I have drive 5 through 8 as partitions on the side. This is working out pretty well for me, and if anyone has any similar setup or a better solution, please let me know. So, as I stated earlier, the FujiNet has dramatically changed how and how often I use the real Atari 8-bit hardware. It's about the price of a video game, so a minimal investment. If you don't have one, you should seriously consider getting one. It's an amazing little device. Without singling anyone out, the development team for FujiNet has done a fantastic job here. You won't be disappointed. Enough talk about the devices. What can you do with FujiNet? The thing that has really driven my 8-bit usage up is the ability to do some BBSing again. I had forgotten how fun this was. I started on one board, then added another, then another, and another, and I'm only up to 5 right now, but I do want to visit more, and I will as I can make more time in my daily routines. What is a BBS, you say? Certainly you're not asking that question if you're listening to this. BBS is short for Bulletin Board System. I'm not going to go into the history of bulletin boards or an explanation of how they work. There are plenty of people who are A, more knowledgeable in those areas, and B, have already done it. And there are already reviews of BBSs as well, so I'll steer clear of that.
If you are not going to do any of that, what is the point of this episode?
So that's a good question. I guess I want to let everyone know how easy it is to get back into it and spread some good words about the ones that I've been experiencing. Oh, and how much fun and interesting it is. In short, I encourage more of you to start re-experiencing BBSing. I'll also discuss some basic features commonly offered among the boards. If you're interested in the history of BBSs and reviews, seek out the work of those that have created that content already. Jason Scott did a great series several years ago, and there is another new series on YouTube that sort of focuses on brief history, current state, hardware, and software, which is coming soon. And Atari Mania has a good reference page for BBS software available for the Atari with a little bit of history. Links to all that are in the show notes. And for reference, I'm using an Atari 800XL with Ultimate 1 MB, Side 2, FujiNet, and I'm running SpartaDOS and BobTurn. In simplest form, you only need the FujiNet and a DOS, which can be booted from the FujiNet, and BobTurn or another terminal software which can also be loaded from the FujiNet.
So, really, they only need the FujiNet?
Correct. You could accomplish this similarly with a serial Wi-Fi modem, but you will need to be able to boot DOS and load the terminal locally. FujiNet makes it an all-in-one solution. I'm going to talk a little bit about each of the boards that I've been visiting lately. I'm not going to play favorites and recommend one over another. This is a choice you should make after you explore each of these on your own. Each of these offers similar feature sets, mail, message bases, games, files, etc. Some offer Ataski movies. Yeah, remember those? I found it best to dial back the connection speed to view them, though. At 1200 baud and over, they become too fast to read. For purposes here, I will discuss them in the order that I registered. The first BBS I registered for is The Basement. This was merely a random pick of the Atari 8-bit BBSs. This BBS is running on BBS Express Pro version 2.1a under Altera Atari emulation. The BBS is full of humorous little stories and little one-liners, with a few full-screen Ataski graphic pages thrown in. The Basement includes an interlinked message base, which I believe the hub is the part-time BBS, which happens to be run by the same sysop and on the same hardware under a different emulator instance. One unique feature of The Basement is the ability to select a windowed menu system at login. Rather than a prompt, you get a small box of menu options that you can navigate through and select. The second one I registered for is Alcatraz. This is another Atari 8-bit BBS, and Alcatraz is running on BBS Express Pro version 2.1a, again under Altera Atari emulation. Like The Basement, this board offers an interlinked message base that participates with The Basement, and I'm not sure how these all get interconnected, as in which one talks to which one, but you will see messages from both boards on both boards. And I believe the interchange happens overnight sometime, and I'm not sure, but I think they interact with a third one called Part-Time BBS. The third BBS I registered for is Starfleet Headquarters. This one isn't full of Ataski graphics. It's geared towards 80 columns and ANSI or VT screen encoding. I had a difficult time trying to read it from the Atari 8-bit, but using SyncTerm in ANSI mode provides an excellent experience from another native device such as your Mac or your PC. Starfleet runs on RatSoft/ST version 2.1c on a real Atari Mega 4 STE. Now how's that for committed? And I think temporarily it's running on a Falcon 30. One cool feature of Starfleet Headquarters is when you log in, there is a random starship or space station displayed in full color ANSI graphics. And as the name implies, it is Star Trek themed. Another feature here is the message bases offer quoting. So in a reply, you can quote part of the messages that you are replying to. This can bring context back to a message that you're reading. The fourth one I signed up for is Errata Online, and this was done after Thomas Cherry Holmes got Forum version 2.6M software working with FujiNet. Forum stands for Friends of Ricky Moose, and it's F-O-R-E-M. The original forums run under Atari Basic, and when I ran a board in the late 80s, I used Forum BBS, which is a predecessor of the 2.6M version. The 2.6M version has multiple message bases as one major distinction. Later Forum XL and then XE would be released as OSS released the XL and XE versions of their basic. Forum is very tricky to modify because it uses every trick in the book to free up memory, including self-modifying code and multiplication to figure out where the subroutines are. I remember tinkering with it for hours back in the 80s with pages of printouts and different color pen traces just to modify it successfully. Because this is an older BBS software, the message bases are a bit more archaic, so you will need to remember the last message being read in terms of numbers. And the file section is pretty populated too. Thomas has done a pretty good job there. The last one I signed up for, at least to date, is Southern Amos. This BBS is also running on BBS Express, but on an emulated Atari 130XE with a 320K expansion, and wait for it, it's running in the AWS cloud. There is an extensive collection of Atascii movies and art here, and a simply fantastic logon screen. Again, remember, pay no attention to which ones I've signed up for versus others available. That's part of the fun, finding out what you like. Some boards' character will fit you more than others. Some boards' features will appeal to you more than others. You may prefer some boards' aesthetics over others, and I do plan on checking the others out, and again, randomly. Each BBS's uniqueness can be attributed to its SysOp. The SysOp is short for System Operator. The SysOp is responsible for maintaining the board, designing the screens, etc. If you're lucky, you might even get to talk to a SysOp paging them through the board. That's one way I became friends with SysOps back in the 80s. And through those friendships, I was rewarded with higher system access, which opens up more board features and or downloaded files, the latter being the target in the 80s. And just a bit more on that, the files typically had an upload-download ratio that you were tied to on a daily basis. So they wanted you to upload in order for you to download. So today, you can use an emulated 8-bit and modem software to connect, but that pulls some of the fun out, at least for me. And as I found out, the emulator doesn't always work right. One of the 8-bit BBSs I visit, the emulator won't handle the screens properly when in Atascii translation mode. Perhaps it's an issue with the emulator, but I don't see it on the other boards. At any rate, I only noticed when grabbing screenshots for this episode, and I don't really plan on using the emulator unless I'm away from home. And in that case, I can fall back to ASCII mode, which works just fine. I will note that SyncTerm, which is not an 8-bit emulator, handles them all perfectly. Probably, in my opinion, today's greatest use case for the BBS is using the message bases. You know, interacting with your fellow Atarians. You can still download files, and I have done it quite a bit recently just for the satisfaction of doing it again, but there are much quicker ways of getting files to your Atari 8-bit than downloading them one by one through Xmodem. And who knows, you may find something that's not been shared on the internet if you do browse those files. I do want to mention one thing about the interlinked or network message bases. These can be both a blessing and a curse. If you tend to only visit one or two boards that aren't linked directly together, the network can bring in conversations from other systems you might not normally see. On the other hand, if you visit multiple boards and they are linked, you will see redundant messages. One small note about the interlinked message bases is that large messages won't necessarily be transferred, so don't dismiss a board because you think that you'll get all the messages on another board because it's networked. On the negative side, since I'm connecting to these BBSs through the internet using what is essentially unencrypted telnet, it's a fairly good bet to say the NSA is slurping up every bit of what is typed and analyzing it. Nothing to hide, nothing to worry about, right? On the flip side of this negative, the big demographic tracking companies can't track your activity and target you for ads or sell your demographic data to third parties. Overall, BBSing today is a great way to relax and interact with friendly and like-minded community members. In today's world, it's easy to sit behind a keyboard and be rude in a public forum without any real consequences, because these boards are run by community members who have the ability to kick people off and out. I feel less of that will happen or can happen. It's much more different feel than using a modern web forum as well. The point of this whole episode is to try to convince you to try BBSing once again. I guess I should be careful what I ask for, though, so I don't start getting the message, "Sorry, someone else is using the BBS, please try again later." But that's exactly how it was in the 80s. An inverse Ataski episode wouldn't be complete without a fun fact, so here goes. When I wanted to run my first BBS, I had become friends with a sysop on another board, though only electronically through that board. Eventually, I literally begged him for a copy of Forum BBS. I was probably 16, just old enough to drive, and when he finally agreed, I went to his house, which was way across the valley, with empty disks in hand. And I probably had to bring him some other software as well. I don't really remember, but that's how things were back then. Trades. I went with another friend of mine just in case there was trouble or he was much older than me or something. And I was at least a little savvy back then, right? When we got there, the guy was a kid, maybe 13 years old. So he showed me his board setup and we copied the software back and forth, and I found it interesting he was running it on a 130XE unmodified with a single disk drive. Even today, it sticks out to me how much power he had over me in getting a copy of the software, and that was really kind of upsetting when I realized how young he was. Eventually, I would run a total of 2 boards, but only the first having marginal success. It probably didn't help that I only ran them between midnight and 7 a.m., one phone line in the house and all. So if you were in Salt Lake City in the mid to late 80s and remember the Saturn IV BBS, or ARTS, A-R-T-S, which is Atari Recreational Time Service, then those were mine. I encourage all of you to once again experience the fun of BBSing, even if you need to do it through an emulator. I also encourage any of you with real Atari 8-bit hardware to get yourself a Fujinet. You won't be disappointed. And one last thing I want to mention, each of the BBSs discussed here, barring Errata Online, has been around in one form or another for a long, long time. And I believe the basement may have the honor of being the oldest one, at least of the ones that I've ventured to. Check the show notes for links to the boards, documentaries, and other relevant sites. I hope to see you out there in the future on some of the boards. I'd like to give special thanks to both the vintage and modern ages of communication. Without either, this podcast would not be possible. I also want to thank the sysops of the boards that I visited for the work in maintaining them. You and the communities have been very welcoming, and it's very appreciated. In alphabetical order, those sysops are Amos, Commodore Clifford, Georg the Warden, JP, and Thomas Cherry Holmes. And last but not least, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you.
Goodbye.